Okay, good. I think we're ready to start. We got a big agenda, as usual. I wanted to start off, though, by just saying that I'm getting really kind of excited about this whole thing. I was putting together the, you know, kind of prepping for the call yesterday, and, you know, it's been a lot, and a lot more than I had anticipated when we started to kind of get this thing going. And I just, as I was sort of prepping for the call and kind of looking to see what we need to do before we get started, I just realized it's coming together in the way that it really needs to. And I really feel good about that and feel good about where we are. And I feel good about the process that we're doing. We got this call, and then we've got another call next week before the program actually starts. And I think we're actually going to pull it off and put all the pieces in place and be able to kind of start where we need to start. So I just want to say I'm really excited about that. And I'm excited about the program in general. I feel, you know, we've been wanting to do this for a really long time, and it's finally happening. And I just think it's going to provide a great service to us, those who are doing it, and also to the people who are participating. So let me tell you what I've got, what I'm thinking for the call, and I'll ask for other input. There's a number of details, as usual, that people have written in about. And there's, when I look at it, I see three main things we need to accomplish. One is we got to look at the curriculum, you might say, or the kind of the format for the key groups. We looked at that, started looking at that last week, and I think we need to kind of look at that again and get that finalized. We need to look over the guidelines and make sure that we're on the same, you know, on the same page, that we're all in agreement. And also, we have to look at you know, the guidelines for the sitting groups and for the key groups and see, you know, what applies to which. And then the third thing is to look at publicity. There's been a movement afoot to send out geographic emails and stuff to advertise this program, which I think could be really fun. And we need to kind of look at that and set it, make an action plan for that. And then we've got all kinds of details, just different questions people have that we can go through. Are people aware of things that I might not be aware of that we need to be sure to cover today, or does that feel like a good enough place to start?
Feels
good.
Seems like a lot, but a good place to start, yeah.
It does sound like a lot. Okay, well, we better get started then. All right, so I'll tell you what I wrote down last time as the format for the groups, and then how about if we start from there? And there's one question that we left hanging last time about when people come to these groups and start off, do they start off facing the wall or do they start off facing the room? And so we'll have to tackle that as we go. So however that goes, we talked about the groups would be an hour long. We debated a little bit about whether or not we would send an email to people before they came, kind of telling them what to expect, or whether we would do a, you know, more of like an orientation while they're there. And I think what we landed on, and people can tell me if this is not true, is maybe not starting off with an email, but just starting off with more of an orientation. So here's how that would look. So people would come, and then the person who is coordinating the group would greet people as they arrive and kind of explain whatever needs to be explained about, you know, here's where it's happening and whatever needs to be told about how they'll sit, facing the wall or not facing the wall. And, you know, anything else just to kind of get them there and get them so that they're ready to go. And then we would, for the first group, you know, so they'll be sitting in some form in silence while everybody arrives. And then for the first group, you know, of course, they have had no orientation. So we would just turn them around and start off with an orientation to the guidelines and explain kind of what this is all about and what we're going to do. And then we would give folks a chance to ask questions about that, and so everybody gets clear. And then we can just start in on the program where we read the first section from the key. We talked about maybe doing a short pause, like, you know, not long, like a minute or 2 minutes after that, just give people a chance to sit with what they read. And then the facilitator would ask, you know, what do you see about that or what do you notice? There would be some facilitation that would happen. And then I think we talked about maybe ending the group with another short 5 minutes of reflection. With our normal program, you know, after the first one, we had talked about starting with a 5 minute kind of little mini informal meditation before we kind of got people either to turn around or open their eyes, however we decided to do that. So that's what I've got from last time. So I'm going to open up to people for comments or feedback or holes that we have in this or whatever you see.
Hey, Dave, this is Tracy.
Tracy.
I remember talking in some of the facilitation retreats that we've had about like doing a centering exercise in the beginning, where, you know, we would just have people watch their breath and just notice, you know, kind of what's going on, you know, in their mind and in their feelings and their emotions. And so I was just wondering if there was any more thought about, you know, maybe just starting with a little centering exercise.
So sort of like a guided meditation rather than just a quiet reflection.
Yeah.
Okay. What do folks think about that?
Well, Dave, that actually came up for me, too, as you were laying out the format. That thought crossed through that maybe a little centering would be a good way to start. And we have them already written up, actually, that we could, you know, we have several little versions that we, it would not be left to each of us to come up with one. We could send them out and just read them.
If we decided to go that route, that would be important, wouldn't it?
Right, right.
Okay, other people?
I could see it, and so I'm not sure if this is what Tracy was starting with, but was intending, but that, well, first of all, to me, I wasn't in the discussion last week, but to me, I would think facing the wall would be the thing to do, because face the center of the room, almost in a way, it seems like you'd have to be more formal than less to really pull off people being facing each other and also having got that quiet inner, you know, kind of time. So I would think you'd want them facing the wall. And I could see, because the key groups are not doing a meditation, I could see kind of guiding them. I thought of it when Dave said quiet reflection time. And if I weren't dialed into meditation, quiet reflection time would be an invitation to go up and have a conversation in my head about how my day went, or at the end of the group, how the group went. But to guide them in a little centering thing might be a nice way to use that time.
Yeah, that sounded kind of nice to me too, actually. You know, a lot of times, like when Sherry will do a workshop, like at a bookstore or something, she'll often start with something like that. And it really does kind of help people to get there, and it really sets the tone for the group.
And just one more thing
about that.
Yeah, this is Janet.
I like that.
Alex, hang on. Can you say that again?
Yeah, that it actually accomplishes doing the meditation in which it's actually focused and people actually know what they're doing during a meditation. It's a fancy way of doing a meditation without having them be off on their own where they're thinking about shopping lists, et cetera.
And without it being terribly formal, which I think is we're kind of trying to avoid with key groups.
I think,
that Janet?
No, this is
Ramita.
Ramita.
I'm thinking if we did the short centering exercise, we could have people facing the center of the room and ask them to close their eyes, and it would achieve that moving out of the social realm and moving into inner experience, and giving them some guidance about what to do when they're there if we decide to be facing inside rather than facing the wall.
Yeah, well, and actually both of those things could apply, because I think what Jen's pointing at is, you know, in that unstructured time when people get there, it'd be really awkward, actually. I mean, I can really see her point. It'd be awkward to put people in a setting that is typical for them, where they're facing everybody, but then ask them to do something which is really untypical, which is not to talk, not to make eye contact with everybody. But that's just that unstructured time. So it could be that we ask everyone to turn around and face the room and say, well, you know, before we, or as a way to begin, how about if we, you know, take a little moment to kind of center and get here, and then we could do the exercise. Would that speak to what you're saying, Ramita, or does that seem different?
Yes, it does. The space I'm thinking of is not as conducive to facing the wall, but I can work with that just as well.
Yeah, I think probably it's one of those, with the ideal comes the actual. It might have to be facing the sofa or, you know, whatever it might be. But it still would kind of take the pressure off people, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Janet, were you out there?
I think that, you know, actually either way would work. I've actually done groups where people have sat and not talked in the beginning, and you know, it seems to work out, but I don't know what's going on in their head.
you know, whether they're just freaking out about it. So turning to the wall and doing that first and then saying, everyone turn around. But I really do like the idea of the centering.
Okay, good.
So,
sounds like we might be in agreement on that. Anybody have a strong objection to starting off with the centering thing? Okay, well, maybe as a starting place, who has those things that we have? Just so we can look at them.
I do.
Rebecca?
Rebecca. Yeah, Rebecca does.
Maybe if you wouldn't mind sending those in to the facilitation coordinator, then we could take a look at them. And probably in-house we could just kind of come up with something here that we could send out to people to get them ready for the first one. We could even actually, I'll make a note, we could send it out before the next call so people have a chance to look at questions.
Let me ask you this. Would it be simpler if I cut the centering exercises out of all of the whole curriculum that we have and put them on a separate document so they're only getting the centering exercises?
That would be great. And just send it to the facilitation coordinator, and then we'll work with it before it goes out to everybody.
Okay.
Super. Okay, well, that was productive. All right, so people come, we kind of get them. So what I'm hearing in is that sounds like we're going to land on getting people to start a face from the wall. Is that am I right about that, or are there strong objections to that out there? Okay. Well, let's figure that's what we'll do. So they'll show up. The coordinator will explain how to go and sit and face the wall and, you know, that sort of thing. And then we turn around, do the guided meditation, and then that's when we do the guidelines. And we'll have to look at the guidelines in a little bit. And then we kind of go on. We read the key. We give a little pause. We do some facilitating, and then maybe end with another little period of reflection. So, other comments about that format that we have, or things that we need to look at?
You said the guided meditation, but I think you meant the centering exercise, right? When they turn around, we start with that. Is that what you meant?
Yeah, same difference.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. All right.
Does the sort of at the end, right? There's a sort of, you said period of quiet meditation, Dave. Are you thinking that that's totally unstructured, or you could use some sort of guided exercise there? I mean, I'm thinking of the people that I would, you know, that maybe come to this have no background at all in meditation, and even to just kind of sit still for 5 minutes might seem somewhat weird without any introduction, so to speak.
Well, it's interesting. You know, I'll tell you what comes up for me, and we'll see what other people think. If we start off with a guided meditation, we essentially have taught them how to do what they're doing. And then, you know, if we ended with 5 minutes where they practice that, we could even refer back, and we're going to practice a little bit of, you know, the centering that we started at the beginning. Seems to me like that would work, and actually might be helpful to give people a quiet space to practice. But that's just one opinion. Are there others about that?
I could really see Chris's point, and that if we want to do it, I mean, I could see both ways. It seems like it would be completely fine to do the discussion and then thank people for coming and, you know, be great to see you back next week and off they go. Or if we did want to have some quiet reflection time or whatever we're calling that, I think we'd want to write up the language to specifically, like Dave is saying, refer back to, give them a few of those cues that we gave them in the beginning, because otherwise it does seem like it would be a little bit of a, what do we do with this time here? Give them a focus.
How about if we back it up one step then and see, do people think it's a good idea to end with another short period of quiet reflection, or would it be better just to say, thanks a lot and see you next time?
This is Lynette. I like the ending with a short period of reflection.
Yeah, me too. It feels like it's a nice closure.
Okay.
I like it.
Yeah,
it kind of sets the tone for leaving quietly. If we leave right after we've been in discussion, then it seems more likely that it might lead for people to continue discussing things as they walk out the door.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good.
And also,
I really like how in some of the ones that Sherry has recorded that there's an appreciation at the end too, like just appreciate the person that showed up tonight and just to, acknowledging that was going to be there.
Okay, so that could be, if we decide to structure it, that could be one of the directions we could go. It sounds like we're all in agreement that we'll end with some kind of reflection. What are people's points of view on structured or unstructured?
I have an opinion. I think that a structured one at the very beginning, the first bunch of key group meetings, would be really handy. Actually, I would vote for the same language used at the beginning, very similar to the one at the end, except, of course, in a leaving kind of way instead of an arriving kind of way. And that would kind of create a structure for people to know the language or actually recognize the language of what they're focusing on as they're practicing meditation, which is what we're essentially teaching them to do in a kind of sneaky way.
Yeah, that's why I was calling it a guided meditation, because that's essentially what it is, because they're meditating, but we're sort of guiding them through it, teaching them how to do it. So
I was thinking... Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm not sure who that was, but...
It was Cameron. I was thinking if we did the formal kind of centering at the beginning where we go through the body, feelings, and mind and focus on each of those and, you know, that thing, maybe at the end we could do that kind of unstructured meditation that Sherry frequently does with new people where you just occasionally say something like, just focus on the breath, nothing to do, nothing to change. You know, that sort of thing where it's more of a like regular meditation where you're just breathing, but you're getting a reminder that that's what you're doing and that there's nothing to do, nothing to change, just be here kind of thing.
Yeah, that's nice. I really like that. That might be a nice middle way. We do that when we teach meditation a lot of times, is right after we've given them the instruction, they have an experience, and you know we'll say something like you said, you know, just focusing on the breath and let them go a little while, and by then you know the tension will have wandered away, and then we bring them back with something else. And it would also be possible, I think, in that to do what Tracy was saying, you know, and one of the things that could bring them back would be something like, and to appreciate the willingness that you've had to be here this evening or something along those lines.
David, I like that an idea a lot, and it also what else is sounding kind of nice to me would be to after we do that, and then maybe ring the bell, then all of us all recite the "We Are Here to End Suffering" recitation at the end to kind of to kind of leave with that. Having said that, what do folks think about that?
What do folks think about that?
I don't know why, but I kind of have a feeling about it. If we start doing something like that, that will start moving more into something really formal, and maybe just at the very beginning, not to start with something like that. I would think for new folks that are coming off the street, it kind of freaks people out as they come to the monastery first time, and
Yeah, I agree with Alex. This is Cameron. I think that sometimes people don't understand the word suffering, and nobody really believes they suffer, and so it's like, ooh, that's really harsh. But I totally think that what Tracy said, the appreciation, is something that we don't hear very often, you know, that encouragement to appreciate ourselves for doing something like this. And I just think that would be a lovely way to end, where people are silent, they're being with themselves and told everything is okay, and to appreciate what it took to get there. I think that's beautiful.
This is Jan. I would echo everything Cameron just said.
Jan, for you also, maybe not to end with a recitation, but more the appreciation and the kind of laid-back, guided meditation.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this is a real unique opportunity for people to discover their desire to practice, discover that place, and I think they will. And then I think we have so many opportunities for them to step it up to the next level when they're ready to do that.
Yeah, that's for sure. Okay, anything else on this topic? Or anything else on our format in general? Or do we feel like we kind of have it for now, knowing that we can make adjustments as we go through?
I'm still wondering how much of the book we read.
Yeah, that's a great question that I don't think we've looked at all. I wonder, Rebecca, if you wouldn't mind if we tabled that for so that we can make sure we get through the things that we need to get through for today. And then maybe, you know, actually what I'll do is I'll write that down for the next call, because that's when it becomes, you know, immediately relevant.
Sure, yeah.
Right. So for the next call.
Dave?
Yep.
This is Janet. I just had a question about the beginning and the ending. So if we're following, say, a script, then that would determine the time. Are we talking about how long we would be doing the beginning, you know, centering or the ending? So,
yeah, well, it's a good point. I would imagine, you know, if we're reading something, it would somewhat determine the time. I mean, you know, there would be some variation in there just because of the amount of, you know, how slowly or how fast or how quickly you did it. But I would think so. We talked last time about having to be pretty short, you know, like 5 minutes or so, just to kind of bring
okay.
It
down. Okay, that was my question. So thank you.
Okay. All right, how about if we move on then to the guidelines? That's the next thorny issue that we've got. So I've got it here. I have gone through it. I made a couple of small edits to the thing that Mickey sent out. So I don't know. What do people think? I'm thinking maybe the best thing would just be to read it through, and we that will evoke whatever conversation we need to have. Does that seem right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then as we listen, one of the things we're going to have to listen for, and I've done a little work on this too, is what is appropriate for the regular, you know, formal groups that are sponsored by the monastery, and what's appropriate for the key groups, if there's any difference between the two. There are a couple of language differences, and I'll point them out, that the things I noticed as I go through. But, you know, in general, do we want the same guidelines, or do we want to modify them for the key groups? So here we go. So it starts off, so it says at the top, guidelines for group practice, and it starts off with a little thing that says a privileged environment. The first line says, all meditation and awareness groups guided by the Zen Monastery Peace Center are conducted within a, quote, privileged environment that supports awareness practice. So that's actually one of the places that we'd have to change the language for the key group, because I don't know if we could exactly say that for the key groups. I think we could just say something like, you know, this group will be conducted with a, quote, privileged environment that supports awareness practice. And then it continues, this environment allows us to be together and do deep introspective work without needing to be a personality, to be social, or attend to others. In order to create this environment, we ask that everyone who participates join us in following these guidelines, quote, and then there's a list. Maybe I'll just pause occasionally in case people have any comments or questions. Anything about that? You might? Okay. So I'll just read off a few of these, and we'll kind of see where we get. So here are the guidelines that people are asking to participate in. And this has the language that Jan suggested, modified language that Jan suggested that kind of be a little bit more, you'll see. So it says, we practice entering and leaving in silence. We practice not socializing with other practitioners. How about if folks just jump in if you hear something that needs to be adjusted? We practice not socializing with other practitioners. If there are questions or needs, we ask the facilitator of the group.
I have a question on that one.
Okay.
I'm just like living in a small town, I think everyone coming to my group is kind of, at least in the beginning, is going to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something about we practice not socializing this time together. During the guided hour or whatever.
Okay, yeah, that seems like a good catch. People agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is Tony. I'm wondering, people might, when we say not socializing during this time, if we might need to explain that. I mean, they might not quite get what that means.
Okay. Like what would you suggest in particular?
Oh, I'm not sure. I'm just because several people I'm thinking are mostly my friends, and also friends with each other.
Go ahead.
Yeah, like to avoid cross-talking and not talking to each other. And maybe that's on down the line anyway.
Yeah, it is down the line.
Yeah.
Being in silence.
And you know what else? When Tony said that, I could really see it, and I just realized that what these guidelines will be are a reminder of what comes up in the orientation. So we'll get to fill it out in the orientation so that people
okay.
like Tony and Tracy, who are in these small towns, can say, obviously this doesn't mean you can't have dinner together ever again, you know, and kind of explain the, you know, what's behind that.
Right, yeah. Right, yes.
That's a good point. I was actually thinking, I think that was the reason we leaned towards not sending these out to people before they came, so that we could explain it. But I was thinking we could send them with a copy of it when they go home, because
mm-hmm.
then we would have had a chance to explain it. And if we follow these guidelines, if that's kind of our format for the, you know, the orientation, then they could ask whatever questions they wanted to ask about that.
Great. Yes, that'd be great.
Dave, this is Mickey. I was thinking, you know, we talked about the word we practice not socializing during this group, which could be interpreted just during the actual group, but we want to include before and after.
Mm.
Okay.
So I was thinking about something like we practice not socializing with other practitioners in the context of this group. And then when we explain it, that could be fleshed out to
okay.
include the whole package.
Dave, this is Marie.
Right.
You know, doing a sitting group in a small town where people do know each other, I've always felt like the you know, saying it, maybe you might not want to put this in the guideline, but saying it when we get out of our cars, we start the privileged environment so that people
yeah.
don't start that whole thing in the parking lot.
Yeah, exactly.
Because everybody knows each other and then take the energy away at the end.
Yeah, that is something,
you know,
we have stumbled over and over and over again, I can tell you. Yeah, I think you're right. But I think you're right also, Marie, that would have to be explained. I mean, we can't.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can explain in nitty-gritty detail on the guidelines, because then I think it would just be too much. But we could definitely explain to people. Sorry, me attacked by a big dog. we can definitely explain to people what we mean by that.
Yeah, to me it feels like that's
a
real succinct, simple way to say it. It starts when we get out of our cars. That way, it's real easy to define how that starts.
Okay. All right.
Dave, this is Jan. I have a question, and if you want to defer it, please feel free. I'm just
okay.
thinking it's likely to be a lot of, hopefully, some new people every time, or there at least is the opportunity for that. So are we thinking that we'll have this review of the guidelines as a regular part of every start?
We were thinking that, at
okay.
least for the first any number of times. And then I think
gotcha.
What I heard people saying was we kind of just see how it goes. And then,
okay.
you know, it could be that we switch to a format where people come early and get an orientation, like they do for the regular established groups, or not sure,
okay.
but I think definitely the beginning for the first any number of times that we would kind of go through it again and train people.
Okay.
Does that seem right to you, Jan?
Yeah, for sure. I really like the idea of that's how we start, and then maybe our format, you know, I'm thinking like with the radio show, now we have 10 minutes ahead of good news. Maybe the format eventually is that 15 minutes ahead is orientation, and then we start.
Yeah, especially after people have been coming for a while, and they don't need to hear that for the 20th
exactly.
time.
Yep, sounds great.
Hey, shall we go on, or is there more about that? Okay, so next is we practice avoiding eye contact, and we avoid watching other people. We call this, quote, keeping custody of the eyes. We practice arriving on time and staying for the duration of the group. We are seated for meditation at least 5 minutes before it starts. If we arrive after meditation has begun, we do not enter the room. Instead, we wait outside until invited for group discussion.
So for the key groups, that would just say we arrive on time, or probably arriving on time would be enough for the key groups, huh? Because you wouldn't need the meditation.
Good point.
So
yep, it's a good point. So let me make a note of that. Hang on before we go on. So that's not relevant for key groups. Okay.
So
we turn off all pagers, cell phones, and beeping watches, or leave them outside. We do not wear scents or perfumes. We do not wear shorts, tank tops, sleeveless tops, or tops that expose the midriff. We wear comfortable, modest, loose-fitting clothes. We sit mindfully and modestly, particularly if we're wearing a skirt.
Dave, this is Karen.
Yep.
Just two questions.
Mm-hmm.
For the key group, if people don't arrive on time, is there anything? I know for meditation, you have them wait outside, but for the key group, would you do anything there? And also, with these guidelines, if people showed up in shorts, do we address that, or do we just give them the guidelines and they get to see what they do around that?
That is a really great question.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody want to try to tackle that right now, or I wonder if that's going to take a second if we do that.
What just occurred to me, Dave, is so often with those kinds of things, because those are excellent points that Karen's bringing up, and I think ones we hadn't really thought of. If we sit with it and then see what kind of time we have at the end of the call and then come back to it, I bet you either we'll have the solution already or, you know, we can decide for next week.
Yeah, I'll put on the list for next week right now because, sorry, just because, sorry, I just got distracted by the dog. we can put on that way for sure we'll catch it because I do think we'll need to talk about those things before the groups actually start. Thanks for bringing that up, Karen.
Okay.
Okay, let's see. All right. Here we go. Next one. During the group discussion, when we would like to contribute, we signal the facilitator and wait to be acknowledged. We refer our remarks only to the facilitator. We do not use profane language. We speak only in terms of our experience, refraining from offering advice or referring to other participants. We do not engage in crosstalk or side conversations. Anything about that one? Okay. All right. Moving right along. We do not touch other participants. So that's where that part, it's the kind of the bullets under a privileged environment and the guidelines people are following to, kind of be with the privileged environment ends. And then there's another little heading that says some other guidelines for groups.
Dave, just a second.
Dave?
Did you skip over the one about maintaining confidentiality or was I spaced out?
No, I think, yeah.
Did I skip one? Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
I actually changed that instead of we practice maintaining the confidentiality, we maintain the confidentiality because I don't really want to practice that one. Hang on just a second. Okay, so we got another heading. It says some other guidelines for groups. We bring only water, no food or other drinks. We do not take notes unless asked to do so by the facilitator. Okay, now the next one is one that I think probably doesn't apply for key groups, but tell me what you think. We sit on the cushion, bench, or chair where we find it. If we need to exchange something, we take it from the extras pile. All places are available for everyone. All places are available for everyone might apply, but the rest, it just seems it might be too specific for the different kind of situations people will be in. Does that seem right, mm-hmm. folks who are leading groups out there?
I'm not seeing what would be wrong with keeping it in. What do you think would?
Well, I don't actually know because I'm not in the situation, but I'm imagining that, somebody might not have an extras pile.
Right.
Yeah, they might.
Yeah.
They might not even have cushions or benches.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's kind of true in Asheville. We don't really have an extras pile, but there are some, They're stored in a particular place, which isn't readily available. But people don't really do much exchanging.
Yeah, and that would be the kind of thing that if there was something specific to a particular group around that could come up in the orientation. And or it could come up, as needed. Like, so it sounds like Chris's group has some extra stuff, but people don't exchange much. So if there's someone who comes in and says, gosh, I wonder if you have a bench I could use, then he could address that with that person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I wonder if it applies I mean, because Chris is a regular established sitting group. I wonder if in general this doesn't apply, not just to the key groups, but just in general.
Yeah, Dave, this is Marie. I was wondering, in key groups, are people going to be having cushions and sit in like a formal meditation and do the formal meditation thing?
I don't know. Well, that's an interesting point. Somebody could have us up if they wanted one. But
yeah.
I don't think it would be a requirement.
And see, for me, people will bring their own cushions because I don't have a bunch of extra cushions. So the whole statement, sit where you find it. All places are for everyone. It kind of doesn't even apply because people will bring their own cushion or just sit in a chair.
Right. And then to go back to Marie's point about the key groups, that people could bring what they want to sit on, and which could be a zafu, but they wouldn't be, like when we're doing those guided times, they wouldn't be in formal posture. I mean, they might be if they just know what they're doing. They'll probably choose to be, but we're not guiding them in that.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So I think this one just needs to be struck from the record. Am I right?
Yeah, seems so to me.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, next one is curious. Each time we leave the space, we remove all personal items unless asked to do otherwise by the facilitator. Good folks, does that apply or not?
Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
No?
Nope.
Exit off?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. All right. We do not, here's the next one, we do not lie down during the group in the hall unless asked to do so by the facilitator. Oh, I see what I did here. It could be, there's not necessarily a hall.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like
during
so group.
We do not lie down during group. Does that make sense to make that change?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what, you might say we don't.
I'm just wondering if we could phrase that in a positive way, like we sit up unless requested to do so by the facilitator?
Sure, yeah. And I was
sit upright.
Yeah.
Right. I was thinking maybe, Dave, you were just suggesting to say during group, and I was thinking maybe to just leave that out, but however we decide to phrase it, we ask that you sit upright unless, invited to do otherwise. Because then I could completely see people coming in after work and lying down before the group, hanging.
So if we don't make it time specific
right.
or space specific,
right.
then that would cover us. To do so by facilitator. Okay, that seems right to me. Other people? Does that seem good?
Yeah. I was just thinking about the difference between being asked not to lie down and being asked to sit upright or up something, because I would get into a whole conversation about slouching or sitting up straight and rather than as opposed to lying down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not lying down. I mean, that's been the way we said it here at the monastery for
20
years.
That's what we're going for. We're not saying you're supposed to keep your spine straighter. I mean, because honestly, that's where I would go with it. What does it mean to sit upright?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we ask you to sit upright unless asked to slouch by the facilitator.
Right.
The language about asking seems a little odd, too. I like what Jen was saying about being invited to, that I, almost never would I ask someone to lie down in the hall.
Right, yeah. Okay, so what I'm hearing, let me see if I can get, so we're going to maybe stick with we do not lie down unless, well, I think we do need to put unless asked to do so by the facilitator, because occasionally, although I don't know, oh, invited was the point.
Invited or given permission.
Yeah, I think I missed the point on that. What was the point?
Well, just that you don't have to lie down. So we're doing a guided imagery. You're not going to
tell
someone, Dave, lie down. I said lie down.
Could lie down now.
Got it. Invited to. Got it. All right. Now I'm with you. All right. Hey, we're on the last one. Whenever possible, we avoid clearing throat, sneezing, coughing, sighing, sniffing, loud breathing, etc., I put during meditation because we don't actually ask them to avoid all that stuff during group. So that one, that might be one that, if folks agree with that, would apply to our formal sitting groups but not to the others because they're not doing meditation.
Great.
Is scratching on that list?
No,
or
scratching.
Moving?
Scratching is not on the list.
Or moving. This is Maria.
Oh, moving.
You know, I had a,
actually, the
yeah,
moving,
I
think, would rest in the sitting still thing that we give people that about meditation.
I had
Sorry,
a question
Marie?
About this. Yeah, for sitting groups, because it's really kind of funny because for years I thought we weren't supposed to cough in the meditation hall. And, I mean, I just had all kind of stuff going on about that because it seems like I would always cough. And then I started looking, and none of the things, I couldn't find anywhere where it said you couldn't cough. And so now to see it turn back up, because what I have that I got, I thought it was what I got from the monastery, was refrain from heavy, loud breathing, nose blowing, ruffling clothes, moving unless absolutely necessary.
Yeah.
And I've never had to say to a person in my group, you know, not to sneeze or cough. And I would find that, I think people just really freak out when they hear you can't sneeze or cough.
Yeah, I think we have what you have, actually, Marie. That's really interesting. I can't remember what it was, but it sounded a lot better than what we've got now.
What I recall about the rephrasing of it in the We practice is to give folks a sense of what we're going for. At least that's what I recall Janet originally said. We find it helpful, too. And perhaps, you know, given the spirit of it, rather than going into a whole lot of why, because I noticed that whenever, you know, we don't say why not to lie down, we just ask folks not to. And so that's the only consideration I would give about including we find it helpful to stay present to what's going on in the room by not lying down in the hall or doing yoga or stretching while group is in session. And that could apply to, you know, the whole when we're sitting in meditation, we don't move, we remain in silence. And that includes not coughing, scratching, da-da-da-da-da.
So, Alex, I'm a little unclear. Are you suggesting we should add the why to these guidelines?
I'm asking to consider it because maybe it's less formal for a key group to actually explain what we're going for, since they don't have as much time or experience, you know, background. They're new to this whole thing, so to give them a concept might be helpful.
And does it seem to you like it would be better to be written in the guidelines or to happen as part of the orientation?
Either one, but I just feel like it needs to get covered. So we would have it in some kind of language. It might be in the orientation. You know, and then maybe not have it on the list that they take home because they would get that from the orientation. But somewhere in there that people get an idea about what we're going for so they don't just leave wondering, why the heck did they ask me to do this?
Yeah, I think you make a really good point, that we give them an understanding of what we're there's actually a reason for this, and it's in order to help us to be present.
Dave, this is Jan. Can you hear me?
Yep, can you hear you good?
Okay, yeah, I'm going in and out of mute, so I'm getting confusing myself on occasion. So I'm wondering, with the key group in place of the specifics, can we make some kind of a more general statement about practicing stillness in, you know, body and mind, or something that would collectively speak to a lot of that? You know, I think a lot of those specifics in the meditation hall are really right on. For these groups, maybe something a little more general.
So for the key groups, you're thinking maybe it might be more effective, instead of having the specifics, to have something more general and include a little bit of the why. Like,
I agree with that and with I like the guidelines that Marie read that were a little more general, because I can just see people saying, wow, how can I not cough or sneeze? These are not voluntary activities, you know? And what's wrong with these people and never coming back? So
right.
I think something more general, like the ones Marie read, didn't seem to say you can't cough and sneeze, but it did give, and like what Jan is saying too, it did give the idea that what we're trying to do is to be still and to be inward and like that. And then, you know, we can discuss if any specific questions come up.
That sounds good to me. Does that seem right to other people?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, what I was seeing too is that one way we could address some of what people have been suggesting we add without adding to each in this bottom half where it says some other guidelines for groups. We could say something like some other guidelines to assist us in being present.
Yeah, I really like that idea. That I thought of that.
Because
yeah.
that's what those
like
are
that?
Down there, really, and then we can just have them the way we best word them, but then there's the reason right there why they're there.
Yeah, so we have kind
I
of
think
two
that's
categories.
A great idea.
Guidelines just for the privileged environment and guidelines that just, in general, help us to be present. I'm on board with that. Other people?
Yeah.
This is Chris. That makes a lot of sense to me. I like the we practice language under the privileged environment, and then switching to something like everybody's talking about, you know, to help us keep present and not distract others. And then I'd be tempted to change the language into something really straightforward, you know, please do not touch other participants. Please bring only water. Please do not take notes and, you know, like that.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. I was looking for a straightforward way to address that because the we later on feels a little weird.
Yeah, somehow it was coming off to me a little bit like it's parental or something like that. Or
exactly, like it was kindergarten. That's what was coming up for me, too. We clap our hands. And
I've been a daycare center. It's just a little too far. But the we practice part in the beginning, and it makes sense for me under the privileged environment because that's really we're really practicing that big time.
Yep.
And then at some point we just want to say, hey, don't distract yourself or others, and here it is. You know, don't touch. Don't
exactly.
You know, and then there's
I
the
do
real
too, that, you know, because there's this funny thing in here about how exactly we do that. But if you add the and others part, then that applies. Because there's all these other things. You know, you can't practice really turning off pagers, cell phones, and beeping watches. but we could take some of those out of the privileged environment part and put them in the second section and then put please. And then we just basically leave the we practice in the top part.
Yeah.
That was good. That was excellent.
And then the refrain from unnecessary movement is I think is really good because then it reads like a precept. You know, everybody gets to decide what's unnecessary for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So where does the necessary sneezing, coughing come in, and the unnecessary? Where's that dividing line? Everybody has to look at it to kind of get there. You know, and then it doesn't say, and it could be part of the orientation. So it doesn't say not to cough or sneeze. It just says, you know, whatever's unnecessary in that, to refrain from that, and then it's back into a practice rather than a...
Yeah, love it. That's great. So, Marie, maybe you could send that language that you have in to the facilitation coordinator so we can look at that again. And then we can... My little piece of paper is covered with scribbles at this point, so we'll maybe put it all together and then send it out for people for a final review about.
Dave, this is Karen. I didn't see the. I'm just thinking in with people that might come to my group that stretching and doing yoga while we're talking could be something that people might do. I just don't see it on there. Alex brought that up, but I just think that might be one good thing to put in.
Probably so. What other people think?
This is Phil.
Does that fall under unnecessary movement?
This is Phil. I would be more specific and spell it out. I've had that kind of incident happen. So to some people, it would be necessary. And I don't think it fits.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, actually. What I just realized is, you know, the unnecessary movement actually doesn't apply to when we're sitting there in group. It just applies to meditation, really. So even for the key groups, that part of it might not be, that whole part of it might not even be necessary. Am I right about that?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That's where I thought we were headed in the beginning, that those, you know, the part about unnecessary movement, et cetera, would go to the formal sitting groups. And the other groups would need to have the things like, you know, stretching and yoga, you know, especially somewhere like Santa Cruz, you know, they're going to.
God only knows what they'll do down there.
But, you know,
good.
I think addressing the yoga thing is probably a good idea, because I even know some of the workshops that, like, the monks came and did here, that in the breaks people would start doing yoga.
Uh-huh.
I remember when Gaverly was here, she was looking at me, and I'm like, go figure, who would have thought somebody would start doing yoga in the middle of the room? And I think a lot of people think that meditation thinks it's cool to do yoga.
Right, and acceptable and appropriate.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, they think it's like the thing to do.
Right.
And I think at some point we might want to address that for the sitting groups or for, you know, workshops in general.
Yep. Yeah. Well, we're hitting the sitting groups anyway. It's going in the guidelines.
And Dave,
any other holes like
oh.
that? That was good.
I was just thinking if we could just explain a little bit about why we don't, and that we're trying not to bring attention to ourselves, because that never would have occurred to me until I learned that at the monastery, that if I did some stretches, I was bringing attention to myself. It just never entered my mind.
Yeah, I think it's really important. And so we can have that language in there, you know, in order to assist us in being present, not distracting others, which was kind of start the point of that. And then, like we were saying before, I think we really have to make sure people understand that during the orientation, especially so people get it, that it's not some kind of boot camp they're coming to.
Right.
This actually is supportive and helpful, and they'll really benefit from it if they're willing to give it a try.
So, Dave, are these the guidelines we're creating? We're going to type up. We're going to have two sets. One goes to key groups, one goes to sitting groups. And then is there going to be some supporting document that goes to the facilitators behind it to fill out some of these points we're making?
There is. We haven't gotten to that yet, but there's a guidelines for facilitators, too. Yeah, actually, the how to do the orientation, that's a good, I mean, that's, the other one I was thinking was not quite so time sensitive, but that really is, because we're going to need to have that in time for the groups to start. So let me put that on my list for next time. So we need guidelines, let's see, guidelines for facilitators around the orientation.
This might already be in the works, I don't know, but there's some pretty experienced people out there on this call who might be willing to volunteer to put together that, really, it's just taking the guidelines and filling out what are the points to make with each of these guidelines. And we've talked about a lot of it today, like why am I staying still, why am I, you know, all that.
That's a really good point. I love the delegating aspect of that in particular. anybody willing to take on?
Just one point to make. You know, we did send out early on, even I think it was before our first call, a document that's called Guidelines for Facilitators, and I haven't looked at it in a long time, so I have no idea whether it addresses what we're talking about right now, but it might be a place for somebody to start.
That's what I was referring to a minute ago, that document still needs to be created. I don't think it addresses the specifics of what we're talking about. It has stuff like, I actually have a copy of it here somewhere.
I have it.
Here it is, right here. About not making assumptions, about maintaining a privileged environment. Follow a proof format. You know, there's some old stuff that's on here. I think we need to put some stuff in there about communication. How to keep, you know, the things that need to be communicated and that don't need to be communicated, stuff like that. And I think that's a really important document. I don't see us. It's hard to imagine us getting to it before the program actually starts.
Mm-hmm.
But perhaps that could be our first project right afterwards. But the thing Jen's talking about, I think, is time-sensitive because people are going to need to have some kind of something to follow to assist them with their first orientation.
Like, I wonder if someone like North Carolina, Chris, has something already like that, having done it for years and years and years and years, or, you know, just has a really good idea. You know, just someone to kind of give us the points.
In terms of, like, we bring only bring water in, no food or drinks. I mean, that one's, you know, just not to make
think,
a mess
I
of the room.
I think what Jen's pointing at is kind of the people are wanting a sense of kind of the philosophy and the behind this, and also the kind of the reason for it in terms of practice. So maybe just some language, some words for people about kind of how to present that and what the points are making. For example, like a real specific example is one I mentioned is, why don't we stretch? Well, because it draws attention to us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's why we don't do that. Stuff like that.
So I'll give you an analogy. Like, we have a manual for the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat, and it has For each group session, it's got the exercise. Boom, there's the exercise. And then behind it, it's got, okay, here's kind of why we're doing this exercise and here's what we're going for. So it would be that, the behind the guidelines kind of stuff.
Dave, this is Jan. I have a lot of willingness, and I left to my own devices, I wouldn't do it promptly. I'm wondering if Chris Larson has any willingness. Maybe we could schedule a conference call, Chris, or just a call together, or meet. I'd be willing to do it with a partner.
Okay. Yeah, that's what's coming up for me as a time-sensitive issue. The next 10 days, it's pretty packed for me. But if we had a fun conversation and could kind of divvy it up somehow, that might work out pretty well.
Okay, super. And, you know, if you guys don't pull it off, just say help, and we'll figure out a way to do it here.
Okay.
Dave, this is Phil, and I do have a little bit started, and I could send that to somebody. I'm going off for the next week for a meeting, so I can't really help, but I could send this one little box that I have.
Yeah, well, you probably have Jan's email address, so what if you send it to Jan and she could forward it on to Chris for you?
Okay, yeah, I'll do that. Yep.
Okay, I realize that we're out of time, and we have one more. So here are a couple things. There's a bunch of details out there that people are wanting input on. So how about if I'll take responsibility to make sure that people get the information they need via email? Because a lot of them are just you know, passing on information kinds of things. So if you don't have what you need, then maybe over the next few days you'll get it. And if you don't, give us a holler, because that means it's fallen through the cracks someplace. There was one more general thing, and maybe we can handle this kind of quickly, is advertising for the groups. I thought it might be really nice to have, Margaret down for the Palo Alto people drafted up a little kind of an announcement about the program. I thought it might be nice to have to create something that really could go out to all the different groups that the established sitting groups that we could send as geographical emails from our database. So I wanted to see if people thought that was a good idea. Maybe we could get a volunteer to take that thing Margaret did and just kind of make it general and, you know, kind of finalize it, and then we can maybe get it out to send some geographical email this week.
And go ahead. Was that Rebecca?
Yeah, but I was going to see if you were about to volunteer. I really think that's a great idea, and I'd be happy to look at something and make it more general.
That would be super, Rebecca. And one of the things that came up, I was in that meeting with the Palo Alto Zen Center, and we were talking about it, is we thought it might be really fun to do a whole Sangha email, something like, you know, coming to a city near you, the new key, or I don't know, we were playing with it. There'd be some really great language to use, the key to it all or something, you know. And then the specific geographic emails could go after that.
It would be fun to say the key to your city. Get the key to your city.
That's great. Now, okay, obviously, you're the key, Rebecca.
Do what?
This is Marie. I just had one comment. I'm curious how that will work with it. Will that geo email just advertise the key groups and not the sitting groups, or will it have to address what the difference is, or how would that work in a town like where we are, where it's, you know, it's just not a big audience?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm not sure, but I'll tell you what I was thinking. Was just going to be going out for the established sitting groups, because I'm afraid if we send it up to the key groups, then we have short-circuited what we're trying to do by keeping them separate. But
okay,
I don't know. I would have the points of view about that.
Oh. Because I was wondering about advertising the sitting groups does kind of put them in the position of reflecting the monastery, I mean the key group.
Exactly.
And I don't
know,
it just gets kind of confusing about...
Confusing. But, you know, for you guys in Athens, you know, you have an established sitting group, Marie, so, you know, we could send out a geographical email about that group, and then, you know, as a part of that, you can be, when it seems appropriate, you can be pointing people to over to Tony's group so people can participate in both.
Yeah, and we're trying to figure out how to do that, because I think it would be really nice if we could, you know, put a lot of effort into getting the word out in a way that supports both things happening.
Exactly, but and with the understanding that they're both different things, sort of.
Right. Somehow, So I think over time that'll evolve more on how to do that.
Yeah, I think so too, and it'll become clear. A lot of this stuff's going to have to become clear as we go along. I think we're just
right.
Kind of setting the stage, and then you know, a couple weeks from now we start, and then I think things will get clarified really quickly, what we need to, what we need to do and what we need to change.
Right.
So this is Phil, and I'd just like to say quickly, I thought when I was looking at these geographic or the total email for everybody, to me, it's really important. I think it's really exciting that we're doing this, and it's like, you know, global. And the other thing I was hoping that we would get out of it is kind of a regenerating interest of people who, you know, have come to all our different local sanghas, but then have kind of faded away or just kind of let it go, or feel like they're doing enough with just doing all this online stuff. And so I was hoping, you know, to somehow in the wording too, it would be like fluffing up our local sanghas in that sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could definitely be part of that. So Rebecca, do you have the willingness to take this on to kind of get us something to start with anyway?
Yeah. So would somebody send me what's already in existence, the Margaret thing that y'all were discussing?
Yeah,
I can send you the Margaret thing. That's really easy for me. I don't know if there's any other text that already exists that would assist you. I think because the other things were just sort of ideas people were having.
And then I'll send something to the facilitator coordinator, right?
Yep.
Okay. Will do.
Great. Okay, so I apologize, folks who had questions that were particular to them and their group. I apologize that we didn't get to that, but I will make sure that all that information kind of goes out, or the conversation, if there's a conversation that needs to be had, that happens outside of these calls in between now and the call next week, so we can get everybody set with what they need.
And our next call is
thanks,
when?
Buddy, that was really fun and really productive. I feel like we're in good shape. So we got one more call next week where we'll put together the final pieces, and then we'll be rolling.
Wait, do you have that time handy?
Yeah. Next Friday at 5:30. The third at 5:30.
Thank you.
I'll send that.
I'm not sure if everybody is aware of that.
We just settled that last night, and I hadn't sent out the email yet. I'll send it out today.
Okay.
And what we decided to do, at least in the short term, as a way to kind of try to cover our bases as much as possible, is flip-flop Fridays and Saturdays. So 1 week would be Friday, the next week would be Saturday. It would be great to do two a week so that more people could participate, but I'm afraid it's just more than we can tackle here at the monastery right now. So mm-hmm. Hopefully that will work for people, and then we can adjust that too as we go along and discover what we need.
Great.
Okay, thanks, buddy. So we'll be talking with you again soon. And again, if you have things you realize we need to accomplish for next week, be sure to email them in so they can be a part of our program next week.